Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's time to be in the escape pod. You're on Joy 94.9 and it's Joe Pryor. This is the weekly travel show. It's not easy being without a co-host, I've discovered, in the escape pod. I have to generate all of the chat. Luckily for us, though, we've got a special guest in the studio today. In the escape pod, we have Meredith Gaston. Meredith is an internationally acclaimed artist and author, illustrator, and we're absolutely delighted to have tempted Meredith into the studio. She's recently left her gorgeous home in the Blue Mountains to relocate to Melbourne. So, Meredith, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jo, for having me. It's wonderful to be here in the studio.
Oh, it's an absolute delight to have you here. Now, Tell us a bit about your body of work, because author, illustrator, artist, you know, well, maybe you could be off at the Venice Biennale at the moment, but you're not. We've got you here, so we feel very lucky.
Oh,
what kind
you.
Of mediums and work do you like to create?
Well, I've been writing and illustrating books for the last 6 years with penguins, a lantern penguin, and I love that process because I've always loved to write and I've always loved to draw and paint, and it's a perfect union of all of the creative parts of my process. But in response to your question, I illustrate regularly for magazines and, different visual projects, so magazines, wine labels, all sorts of interesting things that I do. Fashion.
Oh my goodness! So
yes.
People actually might be very familiar with your work, and
absolutely.
Perhaps not actually know that you're the artist behind it.
Yes. Sometimes I've done a series of wine labels, and they're very easily found in most good bottle shops. And some people that recognise my colours and that recognise my style will say, "Oh, we saw your wine labels." Or that's actually a fabulous importer of Italian wine. Based here in Melbourne, Mondo Imports, Italian family with links to all the most beautiful vineyards through Italy that do beautiful wines, and it's always a pleasure to collaborate on those projects.
And how would we be able to identify something that's very much got the Meredith Gaston component?
Vibrant, warm colours.
Yes.
Always in watercolour and always hand-drawn. So all of my writing is handwritten in ink, and all of my drawings I do especially delicate but very simple faces with rosy cheeks and smiling eyes, and they're quite easy to find. So I did a beautiful red Appoggiano, and that had a little couple kissing, so just an outline of their cheeks and their little eyes closed, and the rest of the label was just a splash of what looked like Murano glass, tiny little windows of colour. So I think that's probably the best description of that one, but there are plenty more out there. But definitely I'd say the style is easy to pick up because it's consistently warm and bright and lots of beautiful, vibrant, luminous colours, and it's playful. So,
and how did you sort of discover that particular style? Did you play around with a lot of different?
Well, I was raised by an architect. My father's an architect, and at home we had lots of colours and we had lots of markers and inks. And when he used to draw of an evening, sometimes I'd go and sit at his drawing board and I'd be able to, I would have permission to colour in just a little bit of his drawing, and I was introduced to shape and to form and to colour and to light and all sorts of things, just almost, you know, not through my father's eyes, but as his little sidekick growing up and watching, you know, what he did and how he worked. And we always had plenty of materials at home, which was a very good starting point for me. So drawing
did
was
anybody
very
else
organic.
Want to be in art class with you, or did you just blitz them continuously from the age of six?
I was so lucky because my parents, my mum would always put me into these fabulous art classes, and I can actually only I loved them at the time, but when now I have a little bit of, you know, hindsight, I can look back and really appreciate how fabulous they were for me and what they brought into my life, because I was life drawing in my early teens, so with nude models and at the Brett Whiteley studio in Sydney near where I used to live in Surry Hills there, and just exploring different forms, exploring different experiences, loosening up my drawing, and really just sort of following my passion. I never envisaged doing this as such as a career. I was interested in journalism and writing, and I never thought that my love of life and drawing would become my bread and butter, so to speak. And
well, that's a journey in and of itself. I mean, how did that actually transition from a passion into now how you can very proudly stand up and say, well, actually, you know, my occupation is artist?
Well, this is a very interesting story, and I'm glad you asked because I love to tell it. I was living in Sydney at the time in Newtown, and I was finishing my degree in media and communications, so arts at Sydney University, and I used to go to my favourite cafe, and I'd often draw onto the napkins when I was thinking or when I was with a friend and just sort of doodle and draw. And one day the owner of the cafe came over to me and said, "Oh, excuse me, are you an artist?" And I said, "Oh, I guess I'm an artist of sorts." And then next minute he said, "Well, why don't you use the walls up there and put an exhibition up?" And I'd never actually put together a body of work. I used to work in a beautiful gift shop in Kirribilli in Sydney, where I occasionally did drawings in the front window of the shop and, you know, things like that to just get my work out there, but never intentionally as a sort of...
So you didn't have a portfolio?
No.
Or
No. I was very, you know, very much just drawing and keeping diaries for myself, and travel diaries and nightly diaries and writing poetry and drawing. And I've still got all of the diaries I've ever kept since my early teens, which I'm so pleased about. But this day in the cafe, the gentleman said, "Oh, how about you put a show up on the walls?" And I thought, oh, why not? So I went and I sourced some cheap canvas, cheap paint, and on my bedroom floor I painted 10 pieces, a body of work, that were really just memories of my travels through Italy combined with some sort of whimsical dream landscapes that I had in mind. And they were really bright, they were really quick, they were really fresh, and I sort of felt a bit vulnerable putting them all out there. But next minute they were up on the walls, and 2 weeks later I was signed by an agent, and I've been showing in galleries ever since. So I was 20. And, here I am now after 10 years. I had my 30th birthday on Wednesday, so 10 years.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. 10 years of just, you know, I guess living my dream and working, you know, my passion. So it's been a great ride since then. I was obviously full of gratitude from the get-go. I just couldn't believe this wonderful chain of events was happening. And I really fell into it all, and I never abandoned my love of writing or reading or, you know, the things I was studying at university, from theology to gender and cultural studies, all sorts of humanities that I really, really enjoyed. I've always kept that going, but the visual side of my practice became a lot more dominant, and it was very much, you know, my handwork and my watercolours and large-scale paintings on linen and canvas, and I've enjoyed that so much. It's been great. I'm self-taught, and I really enjoy the process of exploring new media and allowing my work to grow organically and move in different directions. And I can see it improving, which is heartening. And when I look at some of the older work, I think, oh, that was a bit, you know, a bit rough. But it still had the essence of love and adventure that I think is pivotal to it today.
Well, Meredith, you've got, I mean, that sounds a very charmed story. Were there, you know, you've said a little bit about self-doubt, but was there any moments of adversity, you know, or times when you just, you know, weren't confident or you weren't sure?
I can, yes. Well, Most of the time I just try to go with the flow in life, and I feel that that serves me extremely well, and I try to, you know, just be grateful for all that I have and be open to learning and know that there's, you know, there's room for improvement, but to keep, you know, keep telling myself that I'm doing well, you know, that I'm doing the best I can, that this is a great experience, and, you know, take the opportunities that come to me. And that's been the way that this flow, this wonderful serendipitous flow, has continued. But having said that, I have a great memory of my first exhibition when I was 20, and it was in a gallery down here in Melbourne. And the gallery owner said to me, the opening, just before opening night, "I don't think we can show these works, they're just not up to scratch." And I was devastated. I thought, oh no. And this was my first show, so I had butterflies in my tummy anyway. And I thought, oh, this is so embarrassing. I definitely can't. I'm going to have to somehow evacuate the building and run for the hills. And because I couldn't fix it, you know, it was too late. So this was the night before.
And there'd been no feedback from the gallery.
No, they hung them up, and then she said,
they must have seen your work.
They did,
prior,
but I think
commissioning.
It was couriered down, it was unpacked, it was hung, and this was the night before opening night, and it was down in a beautiful gallery with whom I'm still showing on the Mornington Peninsula, and they're a gallery group, Man Young, with many galleries around, so also here in Melbourne proper. But that night I did not sleep a wink. I stayed up, and I didn't know really how to rework them, because I felt that they were finished, but I ever so gently sort of went in just a little bit here and there. And anyway, the next night when the show opened, I was so nervous. I was quaking in my boots. But alas, the whole thing pretty much sold out on opening night. And I was so invigorated by the experience, because I had been terrified. And I thought, this is for me, the adrenaline of this experience.
My goodness, you're like a performance junkie that needs to go to auditions.
Oh, well, it certainly was an experience. And there I had to overcome self-doubt and also others' doubt, you know, and, yes, and come forward and say, no, this is what I'm doing, and I think it's finished, I think it's good enough. And then after that, they were eating their words and they welcomed me to the family, and I've been with them ever since. So,
well, that's delightful. It's 13 minutes past two. You're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Jo Pryor and our special guest today, Meredith Gaston. We're going to take a quick break and listen to some messages from our supporters, who we absolutely adore, and we'll be back to keep going with Meredith's story.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au, or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Now, Meredith, we've been chatting about your latest book, 101 Inspirations for Your Journey, and clearly you don't really need little testimonials from others about how to get on a plane or take a walk. But there must be a favourite quote that you've included in the book. There must be one that just always pulls your heartstrings.
Oh, this is such a hard,
I mean, there's
question.
A lot of Rumi in here, I noticed.
I love Rumi.
And you've got one of my favourite writers in here, Flaubert.
Yes.
So I absolutely adore the quote you've chosen from him, which is, "Travel makes you modest. You see what a tiny place you occupy in the world."
Yes.
And that's so Flaubert. Just
it is.
Digging it in to let you know that you're really nothing.
Well, when I drew that, I loved drawing that, because I drew the illustration that goes with that quotation is this luscious, colourful, very detailed, vibrant kind of world image with lots of different I guess symbols and pictures around the world that represent, whether it's the yellow taxi in New York, whether it's the your eyes drawn to it very quickly. All sorts of different sort of landmarks from around the world that are there, and the richness of the, you can see the water and the land of the earth. And yes, I love that. And I used to get that feeling every time I stood at the edge of our favourite corner in the Blue Mountains where we used to live, and just to stand there and look out and feel dwarfed by nature and realise that whatever was on my mind that day, or whatever was, you know, seemed to me to be of great significance, significance that I was just, you know, a little person in this enormous cosmos. And at night I'd stand there and the Milky Way would stretch out above in the sky, and I would feel very much, very humbled by that experience and thrilled by it. I didn't feel insignificant, even if Flaubert was trying to pin us down as just little ants, you know, on the from way, way, way above, you know, that's what we look like scurrying around the place. I felt that it was this really enriching epiphany of saying, I'm just this tiny thing in this enormous world. And yet, as Rumi keeps on reminding us, and this is my favourite quote from the book, in response to your question, never be lonely because the universe is inside you. So all we need to do is really close our eyes, and our imaginations are everything. We can create entire worlds, we can travel, and we can go so many places just, you know, within ourselves. And I love that Rumi suggests that, and I love that realizing that we're just this little part of this enormity that is the world and that is life and that is, you know, the energy that surrounds us every day. I find that stimulating and energizing.
Do you find, Meredith, that the more we practice physical travel, do you think we actually get better at the internal travel?
Well, I think that traveling physically is always a wonderful opportunity to get to know ourselves better and to explore how we react to new stimuli, to how we respond to spontaneous developments in daily life. Because, you know, like most people, I imagine, I can't really speak for all of your listeners, but I'm a creature of habit and I get into routines and rhythms that I love. And when I break them, I see who I am as a person. I see the little gaps between, you know, the smooth running of things, you know, and I love that. I see, okay, well, that's what I'm like when I'm in that situation. That's what I'm like when I face that. And I think, wow, that's interesting, you know, and I'm able to challenge myself to grow. And sometimes even, you know, it might even be that upon a travel, you commend yourself for thinking quickly on your feet or making a good decision, or, you know, it's those sorts of things that happen when you're on the road, because you cannot plan and control life. And it's wonderful to see that when you're traveling, that you just can't.
And yeah, there's far too many variables.
There's
out
too many
there.
Variables, and when we come to travel, I think that's the excitement of it all. I think for some people, traveling is extremely confronting. And I can definitely admit that I love to set off on a trip. I love to be on a trip, and I love to come home from a trip. So I love every part of it. And there is something beautiful about coming home and resuming our creature of habit routines. But on the road, I think there's always an experience to look at other people, other cultures, to just pass somebody in a flash of a moment on a train, on a plane, in an airport, and to just realise that we're all moving together. Even though we're moving separately, we're moving together. The life that we live is part of a bigger fabric and a tapestry of other people that are living their daily lives and routines. And even if you catch a glimpse of a smile from somebody, you know, in a bustling airport, or somebody in a foreign country, you can't speak the language, but they serve you a beautiful meal, and they can tell that you enjoy it because you've, you know, cleaned the plate and you're smiling.
Yes,
and
body language.
Yeah, body language. And I think that's another interesting way to get to know ourselves and others. And, you know, incidentally, I met the love of my life at the arrivals gate of an airport 7 years ago in Berlin.
That sounds very love, actually.
Yes, it was very love, actually. And it was wonderful. And I certainly wasn't looking for love at the time, but it found me, and I embraced it and moved to Berlin for several years, 3.5 years, with my now fiance, and yeah, moved back to Australia after that, and lived in the Blue Mountains, and recently moved to Melbourne. And I think that was a trip of a lifetime in so many senses. It was, life had a way of connecting me with my soulmate on the road in an extremely unsuspecting place, you know, the arrivals gate of an airport. You just, all you're trying to do is get your bag and get to your destination.
Well, you're just trying to get to that arrivals gate. I mean, yes. We all know there are some airports in the world where just the queue to immigration just looks like the longest sea of people you've ever seen in your life.
And airports are, you know, tensions are often running high. People are,
yes. They're confused.
People are tired, they're confused. Sleep deprivation, confusion. There can be language barriers, you know, all sorts of things at an airport. And they're airless spaces. You know, there's a lot of people in a space often without windows.
It's true. And I think sometimes we forget that people can be travelling for all sorts of reasons. And it's not always because they're about to embark on the adventure of a lifetime. Sometimes people people are returning home to, you know, some terrible news.
That's right.
Or they're travelling for reasons that are not at all uplifting.
That's right.
And no wonder there's just such a mix of emotions in those immigration queues.
Well, I hear you. And, you know, I've myself travelled in times of emergency or under stress. And, you know, you do have to think. It's like any time during the day when you don't take a moment to be kind to somebody, or you're snappy if the barista takes too long with your coffee, or you miss your train and you're snappy at, you know, people on the next train or whatever it is. You never know what's happening in somebody else's day. So travelling mindfully is part of being a citizen of the world.
That's a very good tip. We're going to go to a short break and we'll be back. You're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Joe Pryor and Meredith Gaston.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Meredith, tell me, what is your ideal kind of travel? We've spoken a lot about where your mind likes to be and how you like to discover things about yourself.
Well, I guess I can think of a trip that I recently did and absolutely loved, which was to a little seaside village in Turkey called Kaş.
K-A-S. Oh, which part of Turkey, or which part of the Turkish coast?
It was about 2 hours' drive from Antalya, and it is a small town which is sort of mountains rolling into the sea, and there's bougainvillea everywhere, and it's warm, and the streets are sort of cobblestone. There's a marina with the boats all lined up there. They can take you out to the Greek islands, which are neighbouring there. And I loved that kind of trip because we flew from Berlin to Antalya, picked up a car, we drove through the countryside, which was beautiful, and arrived at this little town, stayed in a little pension there on the water, and it was very hot. It was about 37, 40 degrees every day, and it was the sort of weather that just made you lazy, but it was beautiful because, with permission to be lazy, we just sort of moved from breakfast down into the water, back up to lunch, down into the water, back up to dinner, pot around the village of an evening with all of the lovely lights and the marketplace and the warmth of the people and interesting sounds and sights. And I loved all of the beautiful tapestries and quilts and rugs and the handcraft.
There's some beautiful textiles, aren't there?
Oh, we always try and bring as many home as possible and then put them under glass and live with them and look at them all the time. But I love that kind of trip because I like the balance between... I love being somewhere so different. I love waking up to the singing of the prayers. I love the hot weather and the olive trees on the hillsides. I love going to the market and seeing the way that I find a marketplace is a great indication of what daily life is like in a place when you're able to find the markets. I love going there and in the heat of the day just exploring the different fruits and vegetables and produce and faces and people and but then having permission to just actually do very little and have my sketchbook with me and draw, write occasionally, maybe read. I take my yoga mat. I stretch out and do my yoga. My partner always says to me, I am not carrying your yoga mat overseas again. But I always find a way to comfortably carry it. I got a great little bag and carry it over my shoulder through all the airports. And
oh, so you don't pack it in your case?
Because no.
I put mine in my case one side, or I use it in the middle of as a bit of a bolster.
I never thought of sacrificing that clothing and shoe space, Jo, but I might need to kind of explore that avenue.
I don't know. I just think it's, that's what I've started doing because I can't cope with having an extra thing on my shoulder.
Okay, all right. Well, that's definitely food for thought. I don't know whether your listeners are rolling packers or folding packers because I've been...
Well, this is an this is an ongoing discussion.
Is it an ongoing discussion? Well, I'm a bit of both. I roll and fold in the suitcase to maximise the potential of the suitcase. But with the yoga mat, I do carry it over my shoulder. But back to Turkey, I can highly recommend a holiday like that because often we do actually need a break from trying to be overachievers in daily life. And doing very little on a holiday can also be very enriching and nourishing. And I would like...
But it sounds like, though, that's not quite the case for you because you said you've always got your sketchbook close to hand.
But I find it quite relaxing to sketch. I'm not working per se.
So it's a different kind of release for you?
It is different, I suppose. I mean, I draw so intuitively and I love it. It's such a part of me that I can't imagine not doing it. And when I'm on holidays, when I go to work, I don't realise I'm working. I'm not sure if you love being on radio and love this experience, but I love my work so much that often I think, oh, I haven't actually done much today. Where I might have written 10 pages of the book or I might have done 2 paintings, but because I'm loving it, I'm not really counting it as work. And it is work. But when I travel, I suppose I'm quite loose with my drawings. I just sort of want to express something that might have happened in the day or a mood or an atmosphere. And often I'll draw the view from the window of where we're staying and just so I have that on record for myself.
How do you nourish that feeling? I mean, do you ever sort of feel as though you might lose that?
I think occasionally we all get to
zone?
A point where we, maybe not. I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I know myself if I'm tired and feel that sort of burnout sort of feeling, I know that I need to just take time off work. But that naturally happens for me. I'm self-employed and I love to honour my timing. If I have a client that's waiting for something, I like to be on time. But there's always gaps between what I'm doing. You know, I've just finished a large exhibition of paintings and I've just had the book release and I had high hopes to actually just paint right on through that. But after finishing the show, I realised...
Logistics get in the way of that, don't they?
I realised that I needed a break and I thought, no, I'm not going to go into the studio for a few days. And that few days turned into 2 weeks and I didn't feel guilty about it at all because it was the most natural thing to just do other things during that time. I wrote letters, I made phone calls, I went on lots of walks.
I guess when you are self-employed, though, there's sometimes that pressure about, being responsible for the cash flow.
Absolutely.
And thinking, oh, I really should do it.
Yes. And that does come to mind. You know, I try... When I look at my job and the income that I earn from my job, I'm very grateful for that because I still pinch myself that I'm earning money from, you know, doing something that comes to me so naturally, as maybe singer-songwriters do or, you know, others do that are able to, or builders. Or if you love what you do, then I think it's always a joy to be, paid for that.
It's definitely the goal. It's elusive for some people.
Yes, and I understand that too, and I do know even I'm on Instagram and on Facebook, and I posted a picture today of my studio this morning, and I was in there painting, and I had beautiful music playing, lovely lighting. I had a cup of tea in my hand, and I just posted a picture of the studio, and I said, hashtag work, hashtag heaven, and I had someone write back and say, living the dream, and I thought, it's true. And here I am working, in inverted commas, on a weekend, but that I'm doing something that I love so much, and I look at many people, both when I'm, here in Melbourne or abroad, doing lots of different jobs. And I look at people working on the street. I look at people working in hotels. And you can tell when someone loves their job because you can see it in their face. And I think no matter what you do, you can do it with love. And that encourages a really positive work environment. And it rubs off on the people with whom you work. And I think, if you love what you do, it shows and it shines through. And I hope it shines through in the books I create because I really enjoy creating the books and I love the process of choosing the quotations and illustrating them. And I love the feedback I get from people who are in all sorts of life circumstances and who are enjoying the book, whether they are going through a hard time and they find the book uplifting and soothing and healing, or whether they're embarking on a journey and they're finding the book, a wonderful travelling companion. I hope that the book is for everyone. And I definitely wrote it with that spirit, with that spirit in mind. And I'm delighted when I even hear things from parents who might be sharing the quotations with their children and sparking conversation that they otherwise wouldn't have had. Or if it's somebody who's given it to their friend who's, in hospital receiving chemotherapy, who finds that they can open the book at any page and that there's something there that will resonate with them, that will brighten their day. It doesn't need to be following, long chapters or anything. It can just be about a single page, a single quotation, a single picture that may, touch somebody. And
The boundless joy and optimism that's in the escape pod today with Meredith Gaston. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with you. It is 5 minutes to three, so our hour is very nearly up.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've...
Ha-ha! Wonderful! Dial today, 1-300-JOY-949 or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's A-U as in A-U. Sponsor Joy.
Meredith, it's nearly... Our hour is up. I warned you it would fly by.
It did fly by. When I thought an hour, I thought, oh, what am I going to talk about? But as it's turned out, you're almost having to kind of put ad breaks over, which is fabulous because I have enough to say, which is always nice to know.
You do. It's your positive outlook that I think is absolutely infectious. And I'm sure that there's many, many smiles on the faces of our listeners this afternoon.
I hope so.
We always ask our guests, what's your favourite travel tip other than the yoga mat and the sketchbook? What is the one thing now that you've done quite a lot of travel that you just simply don't leave home without?
A journal.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's important, even if you don't think that you're a very creative person or that you're not a writer or that you can't draw, I think it is great to take a journal because no matter what it looks like, you're going to love having those memories that just aren't photos, that's more than a photo. It's your own hand that is, you know, putting pen to paper and jotting something down. And I love to get the little moleskin ones where there's often a pocket at the back and putting in little tickets, putting in mementos, because it's wonderful to have that, to treasure that. And when I look back at the diaries and the pictures I kept from that first trip I was describing to Italy, and I was 15 and I was drawing and collaging and keeping everything, I treasure that. And I'm so pleased that I did it. So I would definitely recommend taking a journal, no matter who you are.
That's our top tip from our guest today, Meredith Gaston. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.